Hello, Sia.
Cannon.
Hello, beautiful.
I'm just being a dork.
I love it when you're a dork. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I've been looking forward to talking to you for so long. The last time I talked to you, I got off the phone and I said, God, she is as funny and charming as she is talented. I laughed my ass off so hard the last time I talked to you. I've never laughed that hard in my life.
Oh, shit. I'm so grateful. I had a really good time with you, too. Am I allowed to swear? I just realized.
Of course. Say anything you fucking want.
Fucking kid. Fuck. God. Yeah.
Let me tell you what you said. This is what you said last time I talked to you. We were talking about the wigs and all that shit. And here's the line that stuck with me. You said, being famous is like having hemorrhoids. It was interesting because the context was you were talking about the fact that you wanted to be comfortable if you wanted to be able to go into a store and buy hemorrhoid cream if you needed it.
If I needed it.
And you drew a parallel there that being famous is like having hemorrhoids. And that's what stuck with me from that conversation.
I did think I had hemorrhoids at one point, but it turned out it wasn't.
No, what was it?
I once was told I had herpes, and then I told everyone in my life that I had herpes, and then the doctor came back with the results and told me I didn't have herpes, but I forgot to tell everybody. And then one day, I bumped into someone at Coachella, and they looked at me funny, and I was like, how's it going? And they looked at me funny, and they were like, hi, how are you? And I just knew, and I was like, did Harmer tell you I have herpes? And he was like, yes.
I hate to ask, but what was the condition that you confused with herpes? What did it end up actually being?
It was just like an ouchie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like an ouchie, it was just sensitive. So, we can get really deep here if you like, but, there's this little seam that comes from just, above your clitoris to the top of your vagina.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, if it's irritated, it sort of just sort of cracks open.
That sounds like it sucks.
Really painful. And I didn't know what that was. And really, it was just irritation.
Boys have it so easy. We don't have anything like that.
I guess I was fucking at the time, which is, it's been 4 years, so I've had any problems.
Well, other than the lack of sex, how are you feeling today? I feel like I need to start every interview lately with, how are you feeling?
I had a hard start to the day. I was suffering. I was suffering physically. I have a couple of different chronic illnesses, and I was really suffering, but my medication helped. And then I went out into the pool, and then my bodyguard was working out, and I was like, he was playing really good reggaeton. And then I got out of the pool and I couldn't help it. I just started dancing, and it was the first kind of movement I've done in like a year. And I was like, let's do this every day at 12:30. You put on reggaeton. I'll go into the pool for 15 minutes to get my vitamin D, which apparently is helpful to ward off COVID, according to a couple of podcasts. And then I'm just going to dance on my little grassy patch to your reggaeton. I want to dance to 10 reggaeton songs. And he was like, okay. And then I came in here and I was really lethargic because I'm hypothyroid. And I started to get really sort of anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started them and I just told the truth and now I feel fine.
Excellent. We're going to have fun today.
I'm realizing that co-regulation in any form is actually really helpful. I don't know if you know what co-regulation is, but it just means two people talking to one another.
Yeah.
And, in addiction, what happens is that, your brain doesn't develop properly in the first 3 years of your life. And so your brain doesn't create the right chemicals that typical brains create.
Yeah.
And so we have to try and compensate for that, and that's why we end up either drinking or doing drugs or masturbating or shopping or gambling. Or and then when we get sober, we try and we're like, what can we do that's that's going to help? And auto-regulation could be twirling your hair, biting your nails, watching television, playing computer games. There's so many exercising. There's so many better ways to auto-regulate. but in fact the best solution, better than all auto-regulation, is co-regulation, which is just literally calling someone you trust and love and talking to them for 20 minutes. And you don't have to talk about the thing you're feeling bad about, the thing you're feeling uncomfortable about, the thing that is upsetting you. You literally, all you have to do is call someone and say, how are you?
Right. I have the most addictive personality in the world. You find you're the same way?
I have definitely had my struggles, but I've been working with an attachment repair specialist.
Oh.
I'm really into attachment theory, and I do believe now that addiction is an attachment injury caused by just like difficulties in the first 3 years of your life, which is when you really shape who you are and how you view yourself in the world and how you get love from your parents,
mm-hmm.
and then you tend to use those strategies for the rest of your life. And often they're skillful at the time because you get your needs met and you survive, but they're not skillful as an adult.
So I just had a baby a couple months ago. What should I be doing as a parent to avoid that?
I love talking about this.
Okay.
Okay, so what they need is they need, when you're feeding them, they need you to make eye contact with them from about 6 to 12 inches. And they need you to give them love. And if you're having a bad day, you don't want to take comfort in them. They should only ever be taking comfort in you. It's a one-way system.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is a one-way system. Your child should never be taking care of you or making you feel better. You should always be making them feel more safe, more secure, more tuned and better. And then the next thing is when they put up their hands and they say to be picked up, you pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
When they wiggle and they're ready to explore, you put them down. And then you follow them around. And it's the most annoying period of most people's lives is when they start walking. And you just have to follow them around and allow them to explore instead of trying to keep them at the, like, cafe table and end up in a tantrum, because you have to allow them to explore, because that is what creates, you know, confidence and self-esteem, is both being loved, supported, knowing that they have your full attention and care, and then also knowing that they can explore without fear. You know, if you're saying to them, oh, watch out, don't fall down the stairs, That's not that great for them. Your job is actually to be just standing behind them, walking up the stairs and not touching them, but just being there to catch them. If you can do that for 10 months even, you're likely to get a secure child.
How do you feel about babies for you?
I mean, that's what my plan is in the next few years, is probably to foster drug babies for reunification with their drug-addicted parents, because the first 10 months is the most important 10 months of our lives. It really, really affects how we behave for the rest of our lives and how we process conflict or insecurity for the rest of our lives. And so that's my next goal, is take care of the boys I just adopted.
Yeah.
Make sure they're on a good path, and then start fostering infants who are drug addicted and helping them through their withdrawals and recovery, which I know about and how painful it is. And so I can have compassion for that and patience. And then if their parents get clean and are ready, then to reunify them with. And to help them, too, to help them to learn about what their baby is going to need from them in order to earn secure attachment.
Congratulations on being a grandmother, by the way. This is huge. So you want to take on another baby at this point in your life. That's something you're willing to do. You are incredible.
Well, the thing is that it wouldn't be another baby. It would be many babies.
How do you have the bandwidth for all this when you've got music, movies, writing for yourself, writing for other people?
I did all that other stuff, you know? I made the movie 4 years ago. It's been 3.5 years in the edit. So when I adopted my boys, I had nothing going on. I was recovering from complex PTSD. I was like, I'd been in bed for like 3 years. I was out of bed just on Sundays to go to Kanye's Sunday service so I could hear the incredible singers and singing, and was super uplifting, and I don't know why, but I felt safe around the Kardashians, which is, you know, absurd and wonderful. I wrote 3 songs last week. That was just because someone, my friend who's got a COVID test, came down to where my holiday house is, and he set up a studio, and we ended up writing 3 songs. But that took maximum 5 hours. And then I have a genius manager who's just like, hey, I've got this song I think you should go on. It's going to keep you relevant. And I'm like, cool, whatever, I'll do it. And it's like, you know, it's Ozuna and Doja Cat and me. And it's going to come out in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, I don't speak Spanish, but my bodyguard does. He sat in on the session with me, and he helped me to get all the pronunciation right. And I mean, we had a lot of fun, and it probably took 20 minutes to record the vocals.
I cannot wait to hear that.
Yeah, and so it's just like, it's my, I mean, my managers are really the movie I was driven to do. It was a compulsion. But songwriting, they really, you know, the BTS things, they really find things that are going to have high impact with low output.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful to my management for that, because I mean, the truth is I do, yes, I am busy sometimes, but I spend at least 4 hours a day with my son just being.
When you said the movie was a compulsion, like, what part of it was a compulsion? Like, yeah, I mean, you did everything. You wrote it, you produced it, you wrote the soundtrack. Like, what?
The entire thing. I had the story so long ago, but I knew I had to make it, but I was scared of judgment, that it would be considered a vanity project. And so I kept putting it off, and then I wrote it once with one screenwriter, and then I wrote it a second time with a different screenwriter who was my best friend. And that was the screenplay that I fell in love with. And then it took me another 2 years to get the guts up to write it, because I had a kind of a pretty unsupportive husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we divorced, I was like, do I do it? Do I do it? And, you know, a couple of my very best friends said, you can do this. You are a director. I'd only directed before with Daniel Askill all my music videos before Chandelier. And so I was just like, am I a good singer with good ideas,
mm-hmm.
or am I a director? But this movie I ended up directing by myself, just because of the support of my friends saying, you are a director, you can do this. And I now know I am, and I'm really grateful to them for cheerleading me. And I enjoyed every minute of it until editing. And I was just really, I mean, I don't think I'll ever do it again, except the thing is I love Maddie so much, I want to protect her, that I just keep writing projects for her so that I can be the person she works most with,
mm-hmm.
and I can always keep my eye on her and make sure that nobody's exploiting her. Maddie Ziegler, I'm talking about.
Yes, of course.
My little dancing queen.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like a daughter to me, and I feel an extreme responsibility to take care of her and protect her, because I didn't want to be famous, and without, you know, unconsciously, I threw this child into the spotlight, and I feel regretful about it. She's very sweet, and she's like, I was already famous, don't worry, and I like doing what I do, and I'm fine with it. And but, yeah, I guess all I can do is just take care of her security. So she has a security team that I take care of, just because that I think that's my responsibility, because I made her as famous as she is.
She plays an autistic child in the movie, right?
That's right.
What was the inspiration for that?
I have no idea. Yeah. And then I went to AA on Sundays at the log cabin, and there was a sign language interpreter, and she would bring her son, who was a severely low-functioning, nonverbal on the spectrum, and I really loved him. We had a special connection, and when I worked with Maddie on her character, I kind of lifted all of Stevie, his name was, Stevie's utterances, his tics, his bodily movements, his gait. And I just worked with her for a couple of weeks on all of his idiosyncrasies.
Why did you choose Maddie instead of maybe somebody who is actually on the spectrum?
Because I feel like I couldn't have hired someone on the spectrum at her level without it being really stressful and unpleasant for them.
Right.
And so that's why I chose Maddie to play the role, because it was a very demanding role and we only had 40 days and a certain amount of money. And she cried the first time she came to rehearsals. I could see something was wrong with her. I said, "What's wrong, honey?" And Kate Hudson was on her way and she said, "I'm just really frightened. People are going to think I'm making fun of them." And I said, "I will never let that happen." And when we sent it off to the Child Mind Institute in New York, they watched it with a lot of people who are, you know, in the autism world. And they gave us 100% review.
You said this was 4 years old. What made you choose? Some may say that like now in the middle of a pandemic is a strange time to decide to go forward with releasing it. Why now? Why did you decide to go now?
Well, it was just finished. And it was just finished. And so we don't need to put it out now. We could put it out in a year or 10 years. It's like, I'm really proud of it. I know it will stand up to the test of time. You know, obviously there's collective consciousness. So, you know, we got like, I had big suits on everybody and now everybody in, you know, there's Kanye and there's, I mean, so many people are in big suits now. But I don't believe that's stealing. I believe it's collective consciousness. I believe we all get this sort of like, I don't know, little lightning strike into our brain and think, oh, that would be interesting. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, the makeup artist and the hair designer were both really afraid that it would date. But it hasn't. It just hasn't. Gratefully, nobody else came up with most of the things that we came up with. And also, it's actually not just a visual film, although it is cinematic, and that's why we're releasing it in IMAX. It's a movie about pain, powerlessness, helplessness, fear, love, and redemption. And so I think that even without the musicals, it would have been a really good movie to watch. But with the musicals, I now believe that it's an exceptional movie, and that's why it took me 4 years to make it.
Do you feel like, out of everything you've done, do you feel like it's like the most complete form of expression you've ever given the audience?
Yeah. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, and it's the most meaningful thing I've ever done.
Wow. That's saying a lot. The song that you wrote with Jack Antonoff, did you write that 4 years ago as well, or is that recent?
That was 4 years ago, and we shot it 4 years ago, too.
Oh, my God. Amazing. We're going to play that, and I just want to point out, I don't want to go too far over our time limit. The record company will be mad at me. I've got pages of notes of things I would have asked and could have asked and didn't ask. And I tell you what, this was way better than if I would have asked these fucking questions.
So yay. Yes.
Who needs regular interview questions?
So boring.
We're going to play together.
Now I'm being given the cutoff sign.
Yes, we've spent a good amount of time together today, and I appreciate every moment of it, Sia. Thank you for your time.
You too. Thank you for helping me promote my movie.
Of course, I can't wait to see it in September, right?
Yep, or whenever, after Tenet, whenever Tenet comes out.
All right, cool. Thank you, Sia. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Bye.